Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for this premier service of the Anchor Baptist Church. And we are going to be going in our Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, go ahead and turn there if you would. A few things by way of announcement. We are continuing one more week. This is our last week, as far as I know at least, unless the Lord changes plans. But this is our last week on covering a topic. I hope it's been a help to you, building a strong marriage. This is the fifth of this series that we've been working through. If you've missed any of them, they're all available for you on our Church Vimeo account. And I would encourage you to go back and listen to them if you haven't already. Again, thank you, Anchor Baptist Church, for your faithfulness to the Lord in these very interesting days in which we are living. Isn't it amazing, this technology, that while you're listening to this premier service, there are a good number of young people who are meeting together over at the church facilities, and of course the province allows for young people to continue to receive teaching and training, and so I'm glad we could have the Patch Club, and I'm glad that we could have our teenagers together, and we have two separate units for that to take place, and so little did we know all that God would allow us to use that property for in 2021, but we do praise Him for it. And so let me just remind you, if you do have children over at the church office, that you be there no later than 4:15 to pick them up, and I won't preach too long. I'll give you plenty of time to get over there and get them and pick them up from being at their respective club. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and then we're going to look at this fifth lesson on building a strong marriage. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity to open your word, and I pray that our hearts have already been prepared to receive something from your word today. I pray that your Holy Spirit would challenge us, would encourage us to have this strong marriage and be prepared to face whatever the enemy has, as we'll talk a little bit about that even later on. Father, thank you that we can have the ability to put a service on the internet like this, and we pray once again that you would be glorified in all of it. Guide and direct each and every passage of Scripture, and Lord, may we be able to apply it to our lives immediately, that we would have Christ-honoring marriages and Christ-honoring homes. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in John 16, verse 33, you have it there, John 16 and verse 33, one verse here, and then be prepared as we'll be looking at several other passages of Scripture as we move through this. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. That's something to write down and take note of. In a world that's so longing to have peace, that's how you have it. You have peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that He's called the Prince of Peace. And He's soon returning. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for His return? And I'm ready. And I'm looking forward to that day. Let's get ready and be ready and stay ready. Amen. And be looking for that. But notice what He says. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, here's a news flash. We are still in the world. Every day, you and I, we get up, we get our coffee or tea, and we get the Bible, and we get ready to go, and we read and study and meditate and pray, and we should. But unless you're staying home 24/7, you're going to go out into the world. And even if you're in your home, we're still surrounded by this whole world. And so our marriage is the same. And this isn't a negative thing, but it's a reality that we are in this world. And so because we are in this world, Jesus says, tribulation is going to be a part of it. But I like what He says. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So for the last 4 weeks, this being the fifth time, we've been talking about, from God's Word, teaching and preaching on building a strong marriage. So here's a couple of thoughts to begin with today. How can we maintain this strong marriage? If we are in the world, and if there is tribulation in the world, how can we maintain a strong marriage? I will say to you that it is possible. And like Jesus said here, He said, be of good cheer. You know, I believe that not only when it comes to our marriages, but when it comes to every part of our daily life, we can have strong marriages. We can have a strong walk with God. We can be victorious. Now, there are external issues that are constantly in place in our marriages. And these external issues sometimes are beyond our control. In fact, I would say most of the time, these external challenges, these external pressures, when I say external, there's enough internal things to deal with already, isn't there? And we've kind of been talking about those as we've gone through this journey. But to kind of tie it all together, there's things that come at us from the external, from the outside, that we may not know are coming. Now, we may think they are coming eventually, but I don't know anybody that's been able to predict a health problem. That's an external issue that can be a challenge in a marriage. I don't know anyone that's been able to predict a financial loss. I don't know anyone that's been able to predict, next year I'm going to lose my job, so let's get ready for it. We got to have a strong marriage. No, these are external things that come into a marriage, that come into a home unexpectedly. And so, and these external things that are a part of our life, they're not necessarily there with the sole purpose of causing problems and causing a challenge. There could be a disability, a physical disability that comes up. That, how do you prepare for that? Well, you do, but how do you anticipate it? You don't. A child can get sick, and it can be a strain on a marriage. It can be a challenge to a marriage. There's definitely spiritual attack. We're going to talk about that later. Possibly a move takes place. I know in my own home, referring to my parents growing up, we lived in Ohio for the first 2 years of my life, and then we moved to Tennessee and stayed there for 8 years, and then moved to Michigan when I was 10. And I, of course, from there, I went to Bible college and would get married and so forth, but then my parents would end up moving back to Tennessee 16 years later, and they've been there ever since. And so, that's how God was moving them around. It was all regarding ministry opportunities and Christian education. But that can be a stressful time. That can be a challenging time in a marriage, a move. Of course, infidelity in a marriage is not something I would hope that any of us are anticipating, but it can happen. It can happen unexpectedly, and that's an external problem. It's an external challenge that I might say has come from an internal problem first. Out of the abundance of a heart, not only does the mouth speak, but we do act in certain ways too. So what I'm saying is all of these things, in-laws, can be an external challenge within a marriage. All of these things that we're talking about are, again, opportunities, not opportunities, they are potential challenges within a marriage that we maybe didn't anticipate. Now, I've named several things. Possibly you can relate to one or more of those this afternoon. Possibly you could add to the list. Maybe I even named something right now that you could point to that's in your home, in your marriage. And again, these things that we've listed, other than infidelity, in fact, I think infidelity would be the only one that we listed in there that would be actually sin that causes strife and causes a challenge. And obviously, sin always does. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. But most of these that I've listed here this afternoon, they're not sin necessarily. They can lead to it if we don't respond to them the right and proper way and act the right way. And so that's why I'm saying here, as we consider this last lesson on building a strong marriage, and that's what the title of it is, but we're actually concentrating more on this is how to continue with that strong marriage. In fact, it's not like, when we go to a marriage, maybe you've been to a marriage retreat. That would be nice, wouldn't it, to be able to have something like that again? Maybe you've been to one or more, and you come back from the marriage retreat, and you're kind of on marriage cloud nine for a week. Okay, maybe a month. You know what I'm saying? When you get done with something like that, it's just like when the kids come back from camp and they've made all these spiritual decisions and this and that and the other thing. But if we're not careful over a period of time, it doesn't really matter how long that period of time is, but over a period of time, it's as if we've gone back to normal in our marriage, normal in our walk with God. And we don't want to be normal. No, we don't want to be normal. We want to strive for excellence. We We want to have a godly marriage, and we want to have a strong marriage, not just when the pastor's teaching on a strong marriage, and not just after we've been to a marriage seminar or retreat or whatever, not just on our honeymoon. No, we want to have that strong marriage all the time. So let me give you several things to jot down, if you would, quickly, and we'll get these in. And I hope that we won't just get them in, but that we'll keep them in and apply them. Number one, a strong marriage knows challenges are normal. Now, I've kind of almost said that already in the introduction, but I want to go ahead and give it its main headline. Strong marriages know that challenges are normal. Nothing is shocking. Why? Because we have a husband who's a sinner, and we have a wife who's a sinner, and the curse of sin is on all of us, and so things happen. Our bodies break down. Physical challenges come our way. Now, again, we don't know that they're coming. We can't anticipate that they're coming, but when they do, there might be that that initial shock, if you will. But at the end of the day, when you find out, like I did, maybe someday you'll find out you had cancer, while there is the initial shock, as we take a few weeks to process it or days to process it, we do realize, okay, cancer, it's been around for a long time. I have a body that is prone to any disease, and you have a body that is prone to any disease. And so at the end of the day, there might be an emotional reaction right away, but it's not really that shocking. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. And let's read a verse over here, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 28. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 28, where we see that God's word says, "But, and if thou marry," there you go, "thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned." Notice this thought, "Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you." Such shall have trouble in the flesh. Again, I tell you that our bodies are prone to illness. Our bodies are prone to being challenged. Challenges that come into the marriage, whether they be through our own body or our children or our in-laws. You get more complex things in a home, and you get more kids, and you get more family members, and so forth and so on. There is bound to be challenges. I submit to you that a strong marriage knows this. That's why if we're going to maintain a strong marriage, we know that challenges are coming. We don't just put our marriage into autopilot. We don't just let it run and run and run on autopilot. No, we're proactive. We're moving forward. We're reading. We're studying. We're communicating with one another and applying these principles that we've looked at. And so a strong marriage knows that challenges are normal. Turn to Romans 5. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 3. Romans 5, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also." We glory in tribulations. Paul writes, "Knowing that tribulation worketh patience." I submit to you that a strong marriage is only as strong as it's tested. It's kind of like faith, right? You know that statement. And I think that can be related to marriage as well. A strong marriage is only as strong as the tests and the challenges that come into the home, into the marriage. Because what does it do? Well, it builds patience. And patience experience, and experience hope. I like verse 5. "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." What can we take from this? A strong marriage, number one, knows challenges are normal. Stay faithful. Stay faithful in the challenging times. We've been praying in recent days about homes that have had children that have been sick and spouses that have been sick and challenges that have come in this way and upheaval here and upheaval there. And of course, the last 13 months has been a challenge that no one really ever would have anticipated going through in our married life. So what do? Roll over and play dead? What do? Suck our thumb? No, we stay positive. We stay faithful. We stay on the winning side, trusting the Lord. We stay at it, and we continue to seek the will of God and know that we can maintain this strong marriage no matter the external things that are beating against us and challenging us. Praise God for the tribulation. Praise God for His faithfulness in the trying times and in the difficult times. And that strengthening is happening as we're saying, yes, with God's help, we're going to continue to move forward in our marriage. A strong marriage knows challenges are normal. Number two, 1 Peter 5. A strong marriage, a strong couple, however you want to look at it, knows who the real enemy is. All right? A strong marriage is made up of a strong couple, and they know who the real enemy is. Let's read it. You've read it before, but let's read it again. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. 1 Peter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. It does not say your husband there, does it? It does not say your wife there. It really, hey guys, it really does not say your mother-in-law, even though you've already written that in parentheses. Just kidding. As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Hey, write it down, mark it down. The devil wants to destroy your marriage. He doesn't want it not only to be a strong marriage, he wants it to be a completely destroyed marriage. He doesn't want it not just to be strong or weak. He wants it to be done and over with. That's his goal. That's his objective. His objective is to get the husband and the wife fighting with one another and not recognizing and forgetting that their enemy is not their spouse. Their enemy is not their family. Their enemy is not their in-laws. Their enemy is not the cancer. Their enemy is not the loss of job. Their enemy is not a financial problem. No, their enemy is the devil, and the devil is trying to destroy. And anytime he can get us distracted from who the real enemy is to a fake enemy, guess what? He's one step closer to victory. I want to challenge you, the real enemy, Satan himself. John and Stacy Eldridge wrote in a book on marriage, they wrote this, marriage is hard. It is hard because it is opposed. Think of that. The devil hates marriage. I'm quoting right now all of this. He hates the beautiful picture. Remember, we talked about this weeks ago. He hates the beautiful picture of Jesus and his bride that it represents. He hates love and life and beauty in all its forms. That means there's no way the devil likes anything about marriage. One of the reasons why the devil hates marriage is because marriage was God's idea. The book of Genesis, that very first marriage, Adam married Eve. Who did that? God did that. So God likes marriage. God created marriage. Guess what? The devil's against it. He's fighting it tooth and nail. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to devour all of these things. He is the enemy. The quote goes on to say, the world hates marriage. How about that? The world hates unity, faithfulness, and monogamy. Yeah? Don't do this, but all you have to do is watch anything out of Hollywood. The world hates marriage. The world promotes promiscuity. Oh, if you don't like the... In fact, today, the world doesn't even say get married. The world says just shack it up. Just shack up. You got to see if you're compatible anyway. That's just a bunch of lies. That's a lie. That's destructive. So we see the devil, we see the world, but oh, by the way, our flesh is not our ally here either. The flesh rebels when we put others before ourselves. Hey, remember that? We talked about that, about in marriage, preferring one another. The flesh hates that. What is the quote end? The quote ends with this, our flesh hates dying. Oh, I'll tell you, in a marriage, realize the real enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil, but the devil is the one leading all of those. Satan is the master deceiver. Satan's objective is to do anything and everything to destroy your marriage, to destroy my marriage. And his objective is to cause fighting amongst one another. His objective is to cause us to be upset and bitterness and unforgiveness. And he's stirring the pot all the time. So a strong marriage, a strong couple knows who the real enemy is. Stay unified with your spouse. Communicate, communicate, communicate. We are on a team. If you're on a team, you've got to communicate. It's amazing how team members on certain sports, they don't have to be, say, a lot of verbal communication. I'm not saying we don't have verbal communication in our marriages. We do. But they know each other so well that they can just look at one another and they know what's happening on the playing field. You know, after you've been married for a period of time, that can be the same case. Yes, we still need to have verbal communication, but you get to know someone. You get to know the ins and the outs of that individual, and praise God that my wife still loves me, knowing the ins and the outs of me after all these years, 27 years of marriage, and grateful for it, coming up on 27 this July, God willing, and me to her, but not that difficult to know the ins and the outs of her and to still love her, but stay unified. We're on a team. Hey, we need God, and we need each other. A strong marriage is a marriage that is recognizing that problems come, that problems are a reality, challenges are normal. Marriage is not easy street. Marriage is work. Marriage is difficult. Marriage is, because number two, because we realize who the real enemy is. Marriage is hard because marriage is opposed. There is much opposition to your marriage and my marriage. Oh, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We can be on the right road in marriage. We can be pleasing to the Lord. We can honor him in our marriage. It can remain strong. But remember, challenges are normal. Number two, we know who the real enemy is. Number three, a strong married couple trusts God. Mark it down. Mark it down. When those challenges come, we trust God. When the enemy is fighting, we trust God. By the way, the enemy, let's go back to number two. The enemy will fight your marriage many times. Many times. Let's just use the word many. The enemy will oppose your marriage many times through your children. He will attack, he will try to divide, he will try to kill and destroy through a child, possibly a wayward child, possibly a rebellious child. And you've got a dad who thinks it should be dealt with this way, and you've got a mom who thinks it should be dealt with this way, and that's really a whole other part of a marriage-type teaching. We didn't get to that this time, maybe next time. The point is this, God or the enemy will use even that. But your enemy there is not your son. Your enemy there is not your daughter. Your enemy there is not the rebellion. Your enemy is Satan himself. And realize that many times, that's why we've got to be unified on this thing. We've got to work together to defeat the enemy within our marriage. Work together. But then number three, when these things come into our life, we must trust God. Again, I said it earlier, God is the one who started it all. Without God, there would be no marriage. And so we can trust God in our marriages. Amen? Without God in this thing, there would be no marriage. God, hey, I can tell you this afternoon, wholeheartedly, unashamedly, without a doubt, God cares about your marriage. God cares about your marriage. God wants you as the husband and you as the wife to fulfill the role that he gave you within the marriage. And it isn't so that you can be happy. It's so that he can be honored and so he can be glorified and so that husband and wife can both be loved, because the way that God loves us, oh, we can trust God. God cares about marriage, yes, but let's say it personally. God cares about my marriage. Why don't you say that right now in your home or wherever you're watching from? God cares about my marriage. And we can trust God. We can trust God. You're in 1 Peter chapter 5. We read verses 8 and 9. How about verse 7? As some scripture to read and meditate over regarding your marriage, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, sir, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to lead in a little bit more approach here, proactive approach within the home, that you're going to sit your wife down when the meeting is over and maybe you're going to recap it, or maybe you're going to take time later in the week and you're going to listen to all five of these once again, maybe one each night if you have time or whatever. You don't necessarily have to do that, but I'm saying you're going to be proactive and lead and say, you know what? I know God cares about our marriage, and I know that there's possibly a challenge right now in our marriage, and I know that the enemy is trying to destroy and he's trying to divide, but honey, I believe we can cast it all on the Lord because he cares about our marriage. Let's pray about it right now. 1 Peter 5, 7. How about 1 Corinthians 10, 13? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but God is faithful. I'd underline that if I were you. God cares about your marriage. You can trust God. That's what a strong marriage does. A strong marriage doesn't trust in the employer that pays you. A strong marriage trusts in God because really it's God who pays you. Your employer doesn't. A strong marriage trusts in God when even sometimes the spouse maybe has had infidelity within the marriage in some way. Our trust is not even wholeheartedly. In that case, we do trust our spouse and we should, but our full and utter complete trust goes in to the Lord. There hath no temptation that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it, ye may be able to bear it. Oh, where is your marriage right now? Is there something that you need a way out, not of the marriage, but of the challenge and of the difficulty? Trust God. Is something coming? Is there a health issue? Is there a test that's coming? Are you waiting to go see the doctor? This and that. And it's putting pressure. By the way, that's not unusual that a marriage faces pressure. A strong marriage says, yes, challenges will come. God's help, I'm ready. A strong marriage says there's an enemy. And it's not anybody with skin on. No, my enemy is the devil. And I know that he is more powerful than me, but I know God is able to do exceeding abundantly in my marriage above all that I could even ask or think. And I know that I can cast it on him, whatever the challenge is, because I trust God. Do you trust God in your marriage? Let's go to Psalm 46:1. Psalm 46:1. A great verse of Scripture to make note of. Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Would you read that verse with me? Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in what? Trouble. Let's read it again. Maybe I got you reading it too soon. Let's read it again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is. Not he might be, not he will be. God is a refuge. God is strength. God is present. God is help. God is there. Trust God in the marriage. A strong marriage. A strong marriage is built on trust. Strong marriage realizes that challenges are coming. It's not a shock, okay? They come. A strong marriage recognizes who the real enemy is. A strong marriage trusts God. And then let's look at one more. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. A strong marriage, number 4, cultivates hope. Cultivates hope. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 11. It is a faithful saying, or if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. Notice, if we be dead with him, we will live with him. So when we are dead with Christ, life comes out of that. His death, burial, and resurrection brought every man and woman, but everybody who's a part of the human race, Christ Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, provided life for all men who would believe. I wonder this afternoon, do you know that you have eternal life? Oh, you're alive right now. You have, that's physical life, but do you have eternal life? When you take your last breath, are you going to be in heaven or don't you know? The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that's Jesus Christ, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know, that's 1 John 5:13. You can know that you have eternal life. I know on this 18th day of April, 2021, I know that I will, one day I will leave this body and I will be present with the Lord. I know that. Not because I'm a good man, not because I'm a pastor, not because I've been baptized, not because I have a strong marriage. None of those things are taking me to heaven. No, I know that heaven is my eternal home. I know that I have eternal life because of what Jesus Christ did for me. He died, he was buried, he rose again, victorious. He was the sacrifice for me. His blood atoned for my sin. He is now seated at the right hand of God, interceding on my behalf. And someday I'll get to see him. Not because I'm a good man, because I'm not a good man, I'm a sinner, but because he gives me life. And so I wonder this afternoon, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If not, why not get saved today? If not, as soon as this, oh, don't even wait till the service is over. Right now, wherever you are, if you would just call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you shall be saved, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your marriage is important, but far greater than your marriage is your eternal destiny. Will you be in heaven someday? Just this last week, a dear missionary, a hero of many people, someone who I looked at from afar. I did not know him personally, but he was a missionary in Mexico for decades. He died this last week. Oh, he didn't die. He's still alive. He's in the presence of his Savior, Jesus Christ. And his body, it died, but he's alive. He's more alive now than ever before. Why? Because as the Bible says here, if we are dead with him, we shall also live with him. Notice it says there, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. Well, I know we're going to suffer because we're living in a wicked world. We talked about that right at the top, didn't we? John 16:33. Tribulation is a part of life. Tribulation is a part. Difficulties are a part of every part of life, and that includes marriage. But that doesn't mean that everything has to be half empty. That doesn't mean that it always has to be negative. No, we can be, if we have a strong marriage, it's because, number four, we are cultivating hope. You must cultivate hope. What does this mean? This means that we look into the Scriptures. We look into ask the Holy Spirit to help us to apply the Scriptures. And when we apply the Scriptures to our married life, when we apply the Scriptures to our walk in this world, we can have strength. We can have courage. Cultivate hope. By the way, within the marriage, we cultivate hope. When we are cultivating hope, you know what it's doing? It's edifying one another. It's building up one another. You can sit around and talk about it, and I've said it before in these last four times. You can sit around and think about the negative things about your spouse, or you can cultivate hope. You know what? I choose to cultivate hope. I need to do a better job of cultivating hope. What does that mean? It means that even though there's suffering at times, that means there's challenges. We've already discovered that. We've already talked about that. They're normal. We know who the real enemy is. We're trusting God. But then there is some responsibility on our part. And when we're cultivating hope, we're edifying one another. When we're cultivating hope, we're finding something positive to build on. When we're cultivating hope, we're communicating our love for one another. When we're cultivating hope, we're not necessarily remembering the things that our spouse did 10 years ago that we didn't like. And we're reminding him about it constantly and her about it constantly. That's not cultivating hope. That's burying hope. And some of us in our marriage, we've been burying things when we need to cultivate things and plant new seeds of love and new seeds of kindness and new seeds of joy. We can build a stronger marriage by cultivating hope. This is how we maintain it, but it's how we build it as well. Cultivating hope. I wonder if you would think about for just a few minutes, when did you get married? What's your anniversary? Let's start with the men. Do you know when it is, sir? I hope so. We got married on July 9th, 1994. Where did you get married at? Do you remember where you got married at? What province? Maybe you're from another country and you got married in another province within that country. For us, we got married in the United States. We got married in Michigan, a little small town, Adrian, Michigan. Did you get married in the church? Did you get married at a park? Did you get married at the Justice of the Peace? That's not what this is about. Just think about it. What are we doing? We're reminiscing. When did you get married? Where did you get married? Do you remember something about, did you have a honeymoon? Did you go somewhere on a, did you go on a trip? How many years ago was that? Was it 10, 15, 5, 1, 27, 50, 45? When's the last time you sat down and maybe read something from a Christian author about marriage to better equip you? What are you doing when you do that? You're cultivating hope. And again, God laid it on my heart to take time within these last several months, and it's not about Pastor Turner right now. It's about principles in God's Word. It's never about Pastor Turner. But what I'm saying is I'm thankful that God challenged me. I needed to be challenged as the under-shepherd, but more importantly, I'm a husband before I'm an under-shepherd. I'm a dad before I'm an under-shepherd. And the point is, God started to cultivate in me this thought of, hey, it's time to pull out the notes. It's time to rework them. It's time to get into the Word of God. It's time to put some things together. It's time to pray over it. It's time to preach about having a strong marriage. Surely within the last bit of time, you've had challenges come in. Challenges are normal. A strong marriage recognizes that. Yes, there is the initial shock and awe, but calm down. Challenges come. God is faithful. Look at some of the people on our prayer page that we're praying for. We're praying for their children that are going through major physical times. I think of the McConkie family and others that are on our list. Young man in Lancaster, California with cancer. We've been praying for him for years. Not easy. What do we learn? What do we learn when challenges come? I think the more the challenges come, we remember how much we can trust God. Are you trusting God today in your marriage? A strong marriage realizes that challenges are normal. A strong marriage knows that the enemy is real. We know who he is. Well, I hope that you're protecting your marriage, sir. I hope, ma'am, that you're protecting your marriage from the enemy. And the enemy uses, he uses the world, and he even uses our own flesh against us. But really, the enemy is singular. The enemy is Satan himself. A strong marriage, keep it strong, right? We trust the Lord. Trust God. Proverbs 3, anytime you hear the word trust God, do you immediately go to Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. I don't understand this thing in our marriage. Trust God. Strong marriage, trust God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. That includes your marriage. And then someone who wants to maintain a strong marriage is known by cultivating hope. I tell you what, you know what, guys? It's time to pull out the old notebook. It's time to pull out some paper. It's time to pull out a pen and a little scrap piece of paper. It's time to start leaving love notes around the house again for your wife. Cultivate hope. Ladies, it's time to do the same and put a love note in your husband's a lunch if he takes a lunch, or put a note where you know he goes frequently if he goes to the coffee machine every morning before you go to bed. It's time to put, pardon me, it's time to do that. It's time to maintain a strong marriage. Keep it strong and stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? So we can say we have a strong marriage? No. No, you've missed it. That's your motivation. It's so that we can bring honor and glory to God within our marriage. The marriages of Anchor Baptist Church and others that are watching today, it is my prayer that our marriages would be so strong and maintained and continue to be strong. Yes, we take a hit there. Yes, we take a left punch there, an uppercut there, a jab there. Some of them, we don't even see them coming. But because we have built a strong marriage, and it's not we, but we build it on the Bible, we build it on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God, God helps us. It isn't anything we do, but we apply these principles, and our marriage gets stronger and stronger. We can take a gut punch every once in a while, even though we didn't see it coming. Cultivate that marriage so that we can get down the road of life 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and look back. Reminisce about all the goodness of God. Oh, yes, reminisce about the challenges. They can become a distant memory, though, because we focus on the glass being half full. And we cultivate hope within our marriage. Why? Because we want to continue to have a strong marriage. Again, it is my prayer to each and every one of you. I hope you pray that for me too. God would protect our marriages. We would, as a husband or as a wife, whichever role you have, that we would honor God in our role, not comparing, not worrying about what our mate is doing. What are we doing? How are we fulfilling that role to keep a strong marriage? Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity once again to share from your word, share from my heart, and I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would make the application. And I do pray sincerely today, God, that you would put a hedge of protection around every marriage that is represented on this live stream service, this premier service. And God, that we would have a goal and a vision to keep our marriage strong. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday afternoon. Please keep praying for Anchor Baptist Church. Please keep praying for God's wisdom as we try to do the perfect will of God in all of these areas of ministry. The anniversary is coming up. June 6th is right around the corner. That's going to be the 20th anniversary of Anchor Baptist Church. We are seeking a way that we could be together on that day, which means it would have to be outside, but we're seeking a way to do that. And just pray that God's will would be done. We want God to be glorified. We want His name to be magnified. And so please continue to pray with us. Again, it's been a pleasure to be with you this Sunday afternoon. We're looking forward to our next appointed meeting, which will be Wednesday night live stream meeting, God willing. Anyway, have a great rest of your Sunday. God bless you.